Good afternoon, everyone. Talk about your last licks, and no, we're not talking about at the plate. The Yankees, they unveiled the newest food options at the Yankee Stadium for the upcoming season. And Paisans are batting cleanup by the way of Food Network personality and Bronx native Christian Petroni's crispy fried meatballs. We'll tell you what else is on the menu. In the headlines on the update this Wednesday, the latest on the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Six workers are still missing, and they're now presumed dead. Authorities have also suspended the search for them until daylight. We'll have the latest details. Locally, a man accused of fatally shoving another person into the path of another oncoming subway train has been described by his mother and officials as experiencing mental health issues. This DEFA has revived discussion about how this city should respond to people experiencing mental health crises within the transit system. The Rangers, they are playoff bound. Adam Fox scored 36 seconds into overtime, and the Rangers became the first team in the NHL to clinch a playoff spot, beating the Flyers following a wild third period. And a lawyer for Sean Diddy Combs says that the search of his properties in Miami and Los Angeles were, quote, a gross use of military-level force. This is the update. Wednesday, March the 27th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Wednesday, final hump day in the month of March for us around here. A quarter of this year is about to be done in the books, never to be seen or heard from again. You see, folks, before I did journalism, I honestly wanted to do math. Truthfully, though, I couldn't see myself as a math teacher for some reason. I don't know. But there's a lot to look forward to. Easter weekend, it's just 2 days away. There's anticipation in the air. And opening day in Major League Baseball is tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. The Mets and Yankees are going to kick off their campaigns aiming for a World Series championship. The illustrious World Series title. And by the way, somebody in New Jersey is waking up a new legitimate billionaire. Because they have the sole winning ticket that matched all six winning numbers in the Mega Millions jackpot last night. If you missed out, though, you could try the Powerball jackpot today. It only has a prize of $865 million. So, you know, there's that. chance to be a next multi-millionaire. Good luck to all those who decide to play. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Wednesday's proceedings with the latest, of course, in the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Of course, we all know that yesterday morning, that cargo ship lost power and rammed into that bridge, destroying the span in seconds and plunging it into the river. 6 workers, we've learned now, are still missing, and they're now presumed dead. Authorities suspended the search for them until the early daylight hours earlier this morning. Maryland State Police Superintendent, Colonel Roland L. Butler Jr., said late yesterday that the search and rescue mission was transitioning to one of search and recovery. They had previously pulled 2 people out of the water. Maryland Governor Wes Moore said that a mayday call just before the crash enabled authorities to stop vehicle traffic on the span. Of course, we will have the latest in this ongoing developing situation on tomorrow's edition of the program. Now, on to some of the other news of this Wednesday, and we continue to talk about subway crime, or people continuing to get hit and struck and killed by trains. The latest being a man accused of fatally shoving another person into a path of a train in East Harlem. He's been described by his mother and officials as experiencing mental health issues. The death yesterday is revived discussion about how this city should respond to people experiencing mental health crises within the transit system. Shoving victim was pushed out of tracks inside of the 125th Street station shortly before 7 o'clock Monday night. Police say that the operator of the oncoming train was unable to stop in time. The suspected shover is a 24-year-old who's been arrested now on a murder charge. No information about an attorney for the suspect was available as of yesterday. A judge has now issued a gag order barring the former president from commenting publicly about the witnesses, the prosecutors, the court staff, and the jurors in his upcoming hush money criminal trial. The order cites the former president's history of, quote, threatening, inflammatory, denigrating remarks about people involved in his legal cases. Judge Juan Merchan's decision echoes a gag order in Trump's Washington, D.C. election interference criminal case. It comes a day after he rejected the defense's push to delay the trial until the summer and ordered it to begin on April 15th. If the date holds, it will be the first criminal trial of a former president. The Biden administration yesterday, they greenlit the 7th large offshore wind project in this country. A Danish wind energy developer, Ørsted, and the utility Eversource, they plan to build a 924-megawatt project, Sunrise Wind, that's east of Montauk on Long Island. They say the wind farm will power about 600,000 homes in the state when it opens in 2026. This month, the companies opened the nation's first commercial-scale offshore wind farm. The 12-turbine wind farm called South Fork Wind is also east of Montauk. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the opening of South Fork and the approval for Sunrise Wind shows that the sky is the limit for offshore wind. Visa and MasterCard, they've now announced a major settlement with merchants in this country, potentially ending nearly 2 decades of litigation between merchants and the major payment companies over credit card fees. The deal would lower and cap the fees charged by Visa and MasterCard and allow small businesses to collectively bargain for rates with the payment processors in a similar way that large merchants do on their own currently. Industry groups for retailers, both large and small, say this settlement is a step in the right direction, but far more needs to be done to remedy the current swipe fee situation. A top prosecutor in this country has announced now criminal charges against a once ascending company in the cryptocurrency world and two of its founders in a bid to send a message to other players in the industry to follow U.S. laws. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams said yesterday that the charges against KuCoin should warn other crypto exchanges that they cannot serve U.S. customers without following U.S. laws. Darren McCormick, who heads the New York Office of Homeland Security Investigations, said that the prosecution will expose one of the largest global cryptocurrency exchanges as a multi-billion dollar criminal conspiracy. Meanwhile, the first 3 days of the NCAA tournament, they attracted some record ratings, only to see the momentum stifled due to the games on Sunday being blowouts. Overall, the tournament is averaging about 9 million viewers on CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV. That's a slight increase over the 9.05 million average at this point last year. Through Saturday, the tournament averaged about 9 million, making it the most watched through that stage. The games on Sunday averaged a little over 8.91 million, which is a decrease of 8% over last year. The average winning margin of the 8 games was a little near 19 points, including Duke's 93-55 blowout of James Madison and Purdue's 106-67 rout of James Madison, both of which aired on CBS. In other news, as government officials debate on how to handle the influx of new arrivals, the Girl Scouts, whose Troop 6000 has served kids who lived in the shelter system since 2017, are quickly welcoming hundreds of the city's newest young residents with the support of donations. Most of the girls have fled dire conditions in South and Central America and have endured an arduous journey to this country. Not everybody, though, is happy about the evolution of Troop 6000. With anti-immigrant rhetoric on the rise and a contentious election ahead, some donors see the Girl Scouts as wading too readily into the politically controversial waters. And finally, we've learned that the famed American artist and sculptor Richard Serra has died on Long Island at the age of 85. His lawyer says that the artist died from pneumonia. Known for turning curving walls of rusting steel and other malleable materials into large-scale pieces of outdoor artwork across the world, Serra was one of his generation's most preeminent sculptors. He became known as the, quote, poet of iron. Serra was a native of San Francisco and studied as a painter at Yale University, but his travels to New York, Europe, and Northern Africa inspired him to start sculpting in 1966. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Wednesday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how the Rangers, they are the first team in the NHL to be playoff bound as they got a thrilling win over the Flyers following a wild third period. We're gonna talk together, of course, the latest national news. NBC News, they've cut ties with the former RNC chief, Ronna McDaniel, who was hired just last week as an on-air political contributor. And at the end of the broadcast today, talk about your last licks, and we're not talking baseball, although we are, kinda, sorta. The Yankees, they recently unveiled Yankee Stadium's newest food options for the upcoming season. And Paisans, they're batting cleanup by the way of Food Network personality and Bronx native Christian Petroni's crispy fried meatballs. So, yes, I'm not going to... I want to do an Italian accent, but I don't think I should. Get your crispy fried meatballs. Yeah, it was terrible. I shouldn't have done that. So on this Wednesday where, you know, we're getting ready for the long holiday weekend and there's rain on the way still, this might impact the Met home opener. We're going to talk about this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy. But I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, I've been the host of this show now for 7 years. That's right, 7 years. Now, if you had a job for 7 years, or if you were in a relationship or married to someone like I am with my wife for 7 years, you would think at this point you would know that person inside and out, backwards and forwards, wouldn't you? No, but no, not my wife. She's full of surprises. I can honestly sit here in this desk at this studio and say that after nearly 7 years of being with my wife, I know no more about her than the day that I got into a relationship with her. She's full of surprises. She's like Dora, or not Dora, a Swiper. He's very sneaky like that. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So we all know the hockey season, it's coming to a close, and we know it's coming to a close when we start talking about playoff position and such like that. The first team that made the playoffs for this year was the New York Rangers, who simply have had an outstanding year, all things considered. Rangers taking on the Flyers at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Adam Fox, he scored 36 seconds in overtime, and they beat the Flyers 6-5 following a wild third period. Alexis Lafreniere had 2 goals, and Igor Shesterkin made 36 saves for the Rangers, who lead the league now with 100 points after giving coach Peter Laviolette his 800th career win. They technically secured their third straight playoff berth just by getting into overtime and earning 1 point after Detroit lost to Washington in overtime. But it didn't take long for Fox to finish the night in style with a wrist shot from the high slot for his 15th goal, adding to the star defenseman's career high. So congrats to the Rangers are in order. Now let's see how far they get in their quest for the elusive Stanley Cup. Uh, North of the border in Toronto, Devils and the Maple Leafs going at it. Nico Hershier had a goal and two assists. Jake Allen made 42 saves, and the Devils beat the Maple Leafs 6-3. Jack Hughes scored twice, including into an empty netter. Timo Meier added a goal and an assist for the Devils, who have suddenly won four of their last five. Luke Hughes and Max Willman also scored for Jersey. Jesper Brad added three assists, and Curtis Lazar had two. Austin Matthews scored his 59th goal. That leads the entire NHL. William Nylander and Tyler Berzutti also scored, and Joseph Woll had 19 saves for Toronto. TJ Brody had two assists. From the ice, let's go out to the diamond. Down in Mexico City, Yankees and the Diablos Rojos were going at it. But Oscar Gonzalez left the game after he fouled a ball off his face in the second inning. He got jammed on an inside pitch, and the ball ricocheted off the handle of his bat directly up into his face, and it knocked off his helmet. You know, that's not cool. That's the opposite of cool. He was sitting upright, though, as he was driven off the field in a cart. Yankee said that Gonzalez had a right orbital fracture and would remain in the hospital overnight before undergoing tests yesterday. Jose Trevino had two hits and two RBIs, but the Yankees did lose 8-5. And over on the Mets side of things, right-hander Phil Bickford was released after clearing waivers. The second Major League player cut loose this month after winning in salary arbitration. 28-year-old will receive little near $218,000 in termination pay rather than the $900,000 salary chosen by a three-person panel over the Mets' $815,000 offer. Third baseman J.D. Davis was released by the Giants after winning nearly $7 million in arbitration and got a little over $1.1 million in termination pay from the Giants. He then agreed five days later to a one-year, $2.5 million contract with Oakland. One of the lawyers for Sean Diddy Combs, he says that the search of his properties in Miami and L.A. were, quote, a gross use of military-level force. The former president is hawking Bibles as he plans to return to the White House. And Krispy Kreme and McDonald's, they're getting together over breakfast. We're going to talk about all these and more because national news, it's next for us around here, of course. When the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. Seven long, news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you.
There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update with Brandon and Julian. We'll be right back after these messages.
Brandon Julian. You know, Valentine's Day coming up, we surprise the ones we love with those big red hearts, you know, filled with the gamble chocolate. Think about it. Has anybody ever eaten any chocolate of those with any confidence? You're like, oh, this is either going to be really good or horribly nasty. Guess I'm just big enough to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. Gonna take another 9 of those to get rid of that flavor. You know, there's a big red heart filled with the gamble chocolate, otherwise there's the tiny heart-shaped antacids. I know I make you nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies, this is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you're listening to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Last hump day in the month of March for us around here. Getting ready for opening day across Major League Baseball. That's tomorrow, where the Mets and the Yankees will both kick off their campaigns, unless the weather doesn't hold up here in New York, which is looking like it might not. So we'll just have to wait and see on the Mets end of things. But thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin right here in New York, where last week we told you about how former RNC chief Ronna McDaniel was hired as an on-air political contributor for NBC News. You know who seemingly had a problem with that? The people at NBC News, because they cut ties with her recently. The decision was conveyed in a memo to staff from the top official at the network's news division, after a furious protest by some of its own journalists and commentators, according to a memo from the network's top official. The communication from NBC News Group Chairman Cesar Conde came 4 days after the network said that McDaniel had joined as a paid contributor to offer political analysis. The response from journalists and others within the network was swift and also public. In other news, we're going to go out to the American West in Los Angeles, where a lawyer for Sean Diddy Combs says that the search of his properties in Miami and L.A. were, quote, a gross use of military-level force. The public statement yesterday was the first from the music mogul's team since his properties were raided on Monday as part of the ongoing sex trafficking investigation. The criminal investigation is a major escalation in the scrutiny of the hugely influential hip-hop producer and executive. Combs has been the defendant in several sex abuse lawsuits in recent months. The statement says, though, that Combs is innocent and will continue to fight to clear his name. In Washington, the Supreme Court justices yesterday, they did not appear ready to limit Americans' access to the abortion pill mifepristone, in a case that could have sweeping implications for how the federal government approves scores of medications. The justices, they did ask some detailed questions about the safety of mifepristone, one of the most common ways for women in this country to end a pregnancy. But they also raise issues with the arguments made by the plaintiffs, a group of anti-abortion doctors who want to see the drug's availability severely restricted. Justices, they seem concerned that doctors were not reasonably impacted by how the drug is regulated. Back here in New York, slightly to do with Decision 2024, the former president is hawking Bibles as he plans to return to the White House, or runs for it, at least. The presumptive Republican nominee yesterday released a video on his Truth social platform urging supporters to buy the, quote, God Bless the USA Bible. The book is inspired by country singer Lee Greenwood's patriotic ballad, God Bless the USA, which Trump takes to the stage with at his rallies. The Bible is the latest commercial venture that Trump has pursued during this campaign. Last month, of course, he debuted a line of Trump-branded sneakers, including $399 Never Surrender high tops that are in gold. He also sold digital trading cards and books. The effort comes as Trump is facing, of course, mounting legal bills while fighting 4 criminal indictments and also civil charges. Back out west in L.A., a Southern California police department has now been handcuffed by Lego. The Danish toy company, they asked the agency to stop adding Lego heads to cover the faces of suspects in the photos that they publish on social media. The Murrieta Police Department has been using logo heads and emojis in such images for at least a year. The altered photos went viral last week after several news reports prompting the toy company's reaction. California is already in the midst of a debate over privacy and policing. A state law that went into effect on January 1st restricts how law enforcement agencies can share mugshots on social media. And finally, back here in New York, Krispy Kreme and McDonald's, they're getting together over breakfast. The donut chain and the fast food giant unveiled plans yesterday to offer Krispy Kreme products at McDonald's locations across this land. The companies say a phased rollout is expected to start this year, with availability of participating restaurants nationwide expected by the end of 2026. McDonald's plans to make 3 Krispy Kreme donut varieties available. The partnership, though, was hardly the first, bringing major restaurant chains and popular food brands together. Taco Bell, for example, they've long boasted Doritos-flavored tacos, while Wendy's brought a Cinnabon pull-apart treat to its menu last month. McDonald's, they didn't exactly specify, though, how many of their 13,500 U.S. locations would be participating in this. Speaking of food, folks, we're talking about the last licks, and no, we're not talking about at the plate either, although kind of, sort of. The Yankees, they've unveiled the newest food options at Yankee Stadium for the upcoming season, And Paisans, they are batting cleanup by the way of Food Network personality and Bronx native Christian Petroni's' crispy fried meatballs. Gonna talk about this because your honorable mention is next when the update Brain and Julian continues.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Last hump day in the month of March for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us just one day away from opening day. Excuse me. One day away from opening day across this great land for Major League Baseball. Mets and Yankees are both going to start again, and they're such their quest for the illustrious World Series championship. And, you know, speaking of baseball, there's just enough time left today, of course, folks, for your honorable mention. Some of the best experiences about going to the game is the food you get to eat at the game. And I know this, having been to a couple of ball games myself over the years. My most favorite memory, of course, I think when I was in high school, we had gone up to Yankee Stadium in some sort of game. I forget who the opponent was. I think where A-Rod hit some sort of milestone home run. I think, I don't remember. But I do know that we had shared with some of the teachers who were there, like a bucket of chicken tenders and stuff. And it was so good. And then when I went to Citi Field in my same years of high school, I believe I had a hot dog and of some sort, and it was a really good hot dog. But we all know that stadium food, it's very expensive. But there's always new things to offer every season for the fans out there. And for Yankee fans, even though I don't like the Yankees particularly, but that's a personal matter for another day. For Yankee fans out there, they're getting their last licks, or talking about them anyway. The Yankees, they just unveiled Yankee Stadium's newest food options for the upcoming season. And the Paisans, they're getting and batting cleanup by the way of Food Network personality and Bronx native Christian Petroni's crispy fried meatballs. The newest additions, of course, come only a few months after Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito inspired a deep love between sports and scrumptious Italian Sunday-style chicken cutlets. Now, in the wake of cutlet mania, it's given new Yankee executive chef Robert Flowers, who replaced Matt Gibson at the culinary helm this season, lots of confidence to inspire and introduce the extra virgin olive oil fried meatballs amid the Tommy Cutlets explosion. He told the New York Post, the people who wrote this article, of the meatballs served in a portable box alongside an 8-hour bubbling marinara sauce and cheesy garlic bread, quote, I think it's gonna be huge. Especially with Christian. He's an unbelievable chef. The product itself is phenomenal. Mr. Flowers is also a Western New York native and a Don Mattingly diehard fan. Out of the new additions, out of all of them on 161st Street, there are a great many new flavors, from lots of barbecue and porchetta and carne asada. nothing hits home like Petroni's Pecorino Romano blasted fried beef and pork mixed meatballs. The Bombers, they also introduced another Italian favorite, fried zeppoles with cannoli cream and chocolate and strawberry sauces, served in a mini souvenir helmet over in section 127. Petroni, who grew up a little north of Yankee Stadium on White Plains Road and 241st Street, is just as stoked to see snacks from the homeland make this year's opening day roster. You can find the meatballs in particular in sections 125 and 310. Last season, you may remember, he introduced the cheesy garlic bread to Yankee fans and wanted to raise the bar taller than right fielder Aaron Judge for this year. He said that doing fried meatballs, and I'm quoting him directly here, ones with, quote, enough pecorino cheese to take out a flock of sheep, plus a slow-cooked sauce is, quote, not an easy ask. However, bringing the elevated Italian food to a big venue is Petroni's dream. Sitting at the stadium, eating Nona-level meatballs and garlic bread, just pinch me, bro. Petroni, who was sporting a Mattingly jersey, recognized DeVito's influence on Italian food in the sports world and took it a step further for his own. He joked, quote, if I was a betting man, I'd say meatballs are what's going to take us to the championship. However, there's lots more on this food roster that's worth a lap or some around the diamond. NYC Butcher Lobel's, which delivers a cornerstone steak sandwich from its left field booth, is also offering filet mignon, the crispy tater tots, for the first time. Reading some of this stuff makes me feel like I'm about to watch an episode of Hell's Kitchen. Co-owner Mike Lobel told the Post of the barbecue-flavored bits served with cheddar cheese and crispy onions, quote, everybody does french fries. Let's go a little old school with tater tots. And he added, quote, the flavor profile is just amazing. Lobel's also responsible for last season's coveted Wagyu Beef 99 burger, named in honor of the fan favorite Judge. Although last year only 99 of them were made, this season the Yankees will have, quote, no limit on the volume, as they move to a new home in section 107. Good Lord, it's so long. I actually need a sip of water. Hold on. Excuse me. Lobel added, quote, it was ultra successful, and for this year, you're going to see an expanded footprint for the 99 burger and down the line, Lobel steak sandwich. Also, worth putting in your starting lineup this season are the Street Bird Wings, spicy yet sweet by Yankee-friendly chef Marcus Samuelson in section 112. City Winery's is porchetta sandwich with broccoli rob and provolone in section 105, and Mighty Quince's chipotle barbecue chicken sandwich in section 132. Grand Slam, Butterfinger, or black and white cookie shakes also wash down easily in sections 112, 125, and 324. Goose Island, they're also producing and introducing a golden beer called New York's Legendary Ale that replaces the signature longtime loved Pinstripe Pilsner from Blue Point to be sold across the concourses. So, you know, let people know how the food turns out. I'm sure it'll be delicious. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Wednesday, March the 27th, 2024. That's the update on this Wednesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of My Favorite Episodes series, which will be in April, we revisit a former and a pivotal moment in the presidency of Donald Trump when he took us out of the Iran nuclear deal. So we will talk about that when we get into April. So until the strongs of people get themselves ready for opening day once again, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, please be well. And, honey, warm up that toaster oven because I really feel like cooking tonight. We got some rain moving into the area that's really going to put a crimp in your Thursday. Will the Mets get rained out of their home opener? We'll see. Let's talk about that and a lot more too, of course, folks, when I see you tomorrow for opening day all across Major League Baseball, and the last day too, before the long Easter weekend. See you then.